persevere. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, unless you've been hiding inside all week with the windows closed and the doors, so you can't see out, and even if you did that, you'd still hear the aircraft going over the top. It's pretty hard to not be aware of the fact that we're in the middle of a bit of a bushfire situation in our area at the moment, which is a consequence of living in adjoining large tracts of forested country. We have this happen from time to time. And so, yeah, the fire situation is continuing. I think they've got control over most of the ones up this end. The big one down on the Tuma River is still going and probably will be for some time until the weather sort of changes, or they manage to get some other control lines in. So people like Teresa and Corlius no doubt have been involved in the fire side of things. So keep praying for our firefighters. Firefighting gets even more dangerous as you move into what's called campaign fire, where it starts to drag out, because that's when people start to get tired. They're doing shifts and it's continuing on. And with so many planes and helicopters in the sky, pilots get tired. And that's when the risk factor, I suppose, starts to creep up there. So keep praying for our firefighters as they do their work. One of the things, so I was involved in bushfire fighting for a long time as a forester, and I thought I was going to get out of all that stuff when I changed over to I'm with local land services now, and I found out that I'm actually on the local emergency committee to look after animals, so agriculture and all animals apparently. So if livestock have to be fed, we have to organise that, and it even applies if somebody needs their budgies evacuated or something like that, we've got to organise that as well. So once you're involved in this fire stuff, it's very hard to get away from it. You're sort of stuck with it one way or another. One of the things we used to teach, I used to be involved in a lot of bushfire fighter training. And one of the concepts that we taught, really important concept for firefighters to understand, is the concept of situational awareness. And situational awareness is basically teaching people that on the fire ground, you need to be very aware of what's going on around you. You need to be very conscious of the situation that you're in, the circumstances, what's changing, what's developing, really alert to what's going on around you. And it applies to everybody on the fire ground. So you usually have a controller on the fire ground who looks after a big section of the fire, and then you might have it delegated out to smaller sections under him. And each person has their own little bit, right down to the crews. Then you've got a crew leader, and he looks after, say, a group of five or so people. And the crew are then responsible for the actual putting the water on the fire and all that sort of stuff. Every single person, from the crew member to the divisional commander, has to have situational awareness, every single one of them. They all have to maintain it. They all have to be able to communicate changes, and it's a critical part of that job. For example, you can imagine a fire crew that is dispatched to it to do a job. They're sent up a dead-end road, and their job is to blackout along that fire edge. In other words, put out all the smouldering stumps and burning logs on the fire edge. The fire's still going. On the other side of the trail, there's unburnt fuel. And the crew have to go up this dead-end road to try and black that line out. And you can imagine that they're out doing their thing, and the crew leader might say to one of them, okay, I want you to run those hoses out, put the stumps out. I want you, Jeff, to sit in the tanker and watch the line, watch our exit line and that unburnt fuel. And if anything's changing, let us know, because we're going to be busy with the hoses for a while. And, you know, this guy, he might sit up in the tanker and his job is to keep watch. But not much is happening. It gets a bit quiet, gets a bit boring. Things seem to be settling down. And so he gets distracted. He might get his phone out. He might start looking at his phone. Distraction. The wind might pick up. Embers might blow across onto the other side of the line. And then you get a fire starts on the other side of the line. He's busy looking at his phone. And the fire gets going. And suddenly it's raging and it's burning towards the crew. And they're trapped. And they get overrun and they're destroyed. That's an example of somebody who's lost their situational awareness. They've tuned out for a little while and they're missing something that's happening. And that example is a none too real example. That sort of thing happens. Believe me, that sort of thing happens. Really simple mistakes. And that's why we drill this concept of situational awareness, making sure the firefighters are aware of their surroundings. And in particular, we would teach them that there are certain red flag warnings. There are certain things you really need to pay attention to. And if these things happen, if these specific things happen, you need to let people all around you know straight away. Specific red flag warnings. The book of Jude, we've been studying the book of Jude. The book of Jude is written to the followers of Jesus to maintain their situational awareness on a spiritual level. That is the emphasis of the book of Jude, maintaining situational awareness for Christians. Jude writes to warn believers in no uncertain terms that there are circumstances, in particular there are people who will mingle amongst the church of God whose influence is such that our very faith can come under serious threat. That's the main purpose of his letter. We come under serious threat if we listen to them and if we adopt their way of doing things. And Jude gives in no uncertain terms, he gives graphic examples from the scriptures of people who have suffered the consequences of turning away from God. And in particular, in the last couple of weeks, Ken has been taking us through some case studies that Jude refers to. And so we looked at the case of the golden calf. You know, we saw the Israelites brought out of Egypt, brought out of slavery, freed, a free people. And yet out there in the desert, God gives them his instructions for living. They reject them, they turn to idols, and some of them are destroyed. Some of them are destroyed. We looked at, last week, we looked at the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities that inherently had this culture that rejected God's moral law and adopted their own moral law, or lack of a moral law. And the consequence of that was that God destroyed those cities. He wiped them out. We saw even examples we sometimes think of angels as being up there with God. We saw the vulnerability of angels. We saw the example of angels that had fallen. Angels who had rejected God's authority and promoted their own authority and had fallen and are destined for destruction. And a few weeks back, we looked at Korah's rebellion. Korah, similar sort of thing, challenged the authority of Moses, decided he wasn't up to it. So Korah said, I just happen to be available. I'll take over things. Not recognizing that he's actually challenging God's authority. He was challenging God's appointed man. And Korah and all his followers were destroyed. Jude is saying we have to pay attention. This is the reality of rejecting God's authority. If we reject God's authority, God's punishment is a real thing, and the scripture has real live examples to warn us. Real live examples to drive the point home. When we used to train our forestry firefighters, one of the things we would do in the training camps is we would screen, there's a number of short films, which tell the story of various examples of tragedies that have happened on fire lines, examples of people who have overextended themselves or pushed out, who have lost situational awareness and have been destroyed. We look at, there's an example, the Granite Mountain Hotshot crew in America, who are very experienced firefighters, very fit guys, broke one of the cardinal rules of firefighting. They got out ahead. They tried to walk out and defend an isolated ranch house at a fire in Arizona. They walked out ahead of the main fire thinking that they could outwalk it. They should have known better. These guys were experts. Should have known better. They tried to outwalk the fire, put themselves in unburnt fuel. Wind picked up, got under the fire. It took a run, killed a lot of them, wiped out the entire crew. Granite Mountain Hotshots. Graphic example. Not nice stuff to watch. Not pleasant viewing. It's disturbing in a way. But this is kind of what Jude is doing. He's basically screening examples of what happened to people who turned their back on God, who rejected his authority. We used to train, as I said before, we used to train this thing, red flag warnings. Okay, what things to look out for to maintain your situational awareness? Things like if the wind changes suddenly, if the fire behavior starts to get erratic when it was suddenly, it was burning slowly, now it starts acting kind of strange. Embers start crossing the line or start landing around you. When you're working with unburnt fuel between you and the fire, these are all red flags. These are red flag warnings. Watch these things. These are the things you need to pay attention to. And Jude does the same sort of thing. He gives red flag warnings about these people who threaten our faith. And these were some of the red flag warnings that we've looked at over the last few weeks. They deny the authority of Jesus. These people deny the authority of Jesus. Always a primary warning sign. They deny the authority of the Lord. They mock God's authority. They make light of God's authority. Make light of his leadership. Make light of his appointed authority. Play it down. Play it. Trivialize it. They follow their own desires. This was another characteristic. They follow their own desires. If God's laws get in the way, they push them aside. Their desires always come first. They always pursue that first and foremost. God's desires come second. God's laws come second. Another characteristic was that they tend to be self-centered. Now, we're all self-centered, aren't we? That's our human nature. These people, it's a driving thing. You know, there's no thinking of others. They're in it for themselves. That's a primary characteristic of these people. He referred to them as shepherds who feed themselves. So they're not there to serve the greater flock. They're there to look after themselves. He called them fruitless clouds without rain. Promote a lot, but they don't deliver much. And another characteristic was they're divisive, always a warning sign. When somebody is divisive, trying to split the people of God into factions and so on, these are red flag warnings. And we need to be very, very careful when we find ourselves in the presence of people who exhibit these characteristics. Be very careful because bad company corrupts good character. Be very careful because human beings, one of the realities of being a human being is that we are influenced by our culture. We are influenced by our culture. So be very careful. Watch out for those red flag signs. Don't be surprised because the scripture, the apostles wrote and said, this will happen. This is something you will come into contact with. But maintain your situational awareness. Look out for those red flag signs. Keep yourself alert. And the passages we looked at today begins, this is where we get to, I guess, the action and the real application part of the book of Jude. And it begins with the words, but you. He's given us his whole spiel on these people we need to watch out for. And verse 20 begins with but you. But you, listen. Here's what you do about it. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. The first action there, build yourself up in the faith. Your faith is the most important, most valuable thing that you have. Peter said it is of greater worth than gold. Your most holy faith. It's the most important thing we have. It is what saves us. It's what connects our relationship with God. Therefore, prioritize it above everything else. Build yourself up in your faith. That means if we want to build ourselves up physically, we push, we stretch, we lift something heavier. We might need to do the same thing in a spiritual sense. Study the word more. Read deeper. I was sharing a couple of weeks ago, last year, there was a couple of times when I really felt in my own life things that where I felt some periods of spiritual growth, and that was as a result of having to delve deeper into the Word of God than I would have normally, I guess, having to preach on some difficult passages. I really felt growth as a result of having to do some heavier lifting than I normally would on my own bat. Push harder, reach, study more, read deeper. But the real building of faith comes by praying. In other words, we rely on God more and more. That's where our faith really gets built up. We know this, and yet we struggle with this. But the more we pray, the stronger our faith is going to get, the more we rely on God. Just in the last few weeks, last month or so, I've had situations come up that have been complicated situations to resolve. And they've been situations that really only relate to me. They don't really relate to too many other people or anything like that. And I've been at a sort of conundrum as to how to solve those problems. And so I've prayed about the complexities of those problems, and I've seen them sorted out. And I've seen that happen many times. But we forget that, don't we? We can pray all those complex situations that God is interested in, wants us to bring those to Him. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people." See, we don't have any problems that are too trivial for God to deal with. There is nothing that you are facing that He's not interested in. There's nothing that He's not, "Sorry, I'm too busy to deal with that situation you've got there. Don't bother me with that." It doesn't work like that. God is interested in every problem that we have, and He wants us to bring those problems to Him. Building and growing our faith means that we will rely on God more and more, rely on Him more and more. The other end of the spectrum, of course, is pride. And that is the mindset that says, "I can fix all my own problems myself, therefore I won't pray about them. I'll battle on my own. I'll just pray when I get into a real crisis. That's when I'll turn to God, when I'm really stuck. The rest of the time, I'll be fine." But it's in Christ, it's in faith, we start to realize as time goes by, as our understanding of our walk of faith grows, we actually start to recognize that we are really limited. And we actually need God more and more. We were designed, as we sang before, we were designed to walk with Him. And faith teaches us that the independent, autonomous mindset is actually a bit of a myth. We can't, our wisdom and our insight is actually quite limited. And as the writer of Proverbs said, "Never rely on what you think you know." Be very, very careful if you're trusting gut instinct. Very, very careful if you're going to rely on your gut feelings. I think basically your gut feelings are probably only really good at predicting when you're hungry. That's about it. Have you ever been 110% sure you were right about something, only to find out that you were actually way off the mark? Yeah, now, wives, don't look at your husbands with raised eyebrows at this point, okay? Just look straight ahead. Have you ever been in that situation? You were so sure that you were right, and you only to find out that you were way off the mark. Walk with the ultimate life guide. Walk with the ultimate life coach, the one who will lead you, the guide who will lead you into all truth. The guide who will lead you into all truth will keep you from getting off track. Build yourself up in your faith. Verse 21, "Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Now, how do we do that? How do we keep ourselves in God's love? Well, Jesus taught us. He taught us very, very clearly how we do that. In John 15, verses 9 and 10, He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love." And that's a contrast there, isn't it, to the certain people that Jude has been writing about. Loving Jesus, remaining in God's love, means adhering to His commands, obeying His principles, His laws, His way, recognizing that that's a new and a better way, and walking in it. Don't be misled into thinking that God's ways are redundant, that His moral standards don't apply anymore in this advanced, enlightened, progressive society that we live in, even though a lot of that stuff gets downplayed as old-fashioned and irrelevant. Don't be misled. Jesus said, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love." By obedience to his way of doing things, we remain in His love. Obedience is by faith and trusting in Him. We trust Him that His way is better, and so we follow His way. Verse 22, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Be merciful and kind to the doubters. That's how God's been to us. Be merciful and kind. Sometimes as Christians, we get into a situation with an unbeliever where we kind of browbeat them, people who are living outside of God's ways. And sometimes that can do a lot more harm than good. One of the things we need to recognize is that in being in this culture that we're a part of, you know, once upon a time, most people believed in God. Most people believed in God, whether they obeyed him or not was a different issue. And you might be able to start there. Most people recognized that God was there. The world we live in today, a lot of people actually struggling to even recognize God as an entity. That's where we're approaching from. Struggling to even accept the existence of God, let alone his moral standard. So be merciful to the doubters. Be merciful to the doubters. Show them the reality of the grace of God. But in other situations, maybe we have to tell it like it is. Maybe with a more direct approach. Snatching someone from the fire, there's an urgency to that. There's a directness to that. There's a chance you'll get burned as well. Sometimes we have to tell it like it is. Sometimes it always takes wisdom, but sometimes there's a call for a firm hand. There's no nice, polite way to tell a swimmer that there's a shark coming up on them. Sometimes you need to be very direct and blunt to get an important message across. But it takes wisdom. To others, says Jude, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. The old saying, hate the sin, love the sinner. Be loving, but don't tolerate evil. And you might be thinking, well, how do we strike that balance? How do we work that out? You know, how do we know when to be firm? How do we know when to be gracious? How do we, you know, when we're dealing with outsiders? Well, in the next couple of weeks, Ron's going to introduce us to the series we're going to look at this year called Adventures in Relationships. And Ron's going to have all the answers to those complicated problems, and he will give us all those answers next week. That's right, isn't it, Ron? No. How do we strike that balance? Well, as we looked at a couple of weeks back, the good news is that we were never meant to do this on our own. We were never, ever meant to do this alone. Christianity is a living faith in which our Savior will walk with us. He will guide us and he will lead us in all wisdom in every encounter and every conversation and every mistake and everything we do. All the way through this complicated thing called life. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Listen to Jude's red flag warnings. Stay situationally aware. Don't be misled. Build your faith. Build your daily dependence on God. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to depend on him. We need him. Seek his wisdom. Seek his wisdom in all your dealings with others. But don't do it on your own. You were never meant to do it on your own. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before the glorious in his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to our only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the warnings written in the book of Jude. We thank you, Lord, that you warn us about things that can harm us, but you show us a way. And we ask that you would help us to remember that, to look for ways we can build our faith. Help us to turn to you in difficult circumstances, to get your wisdom and your guidance. And may our involvement with others be a blessing, that the truth and the awareness of eternal life and great joy that is on offer to humankind might be made known through us. We just pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.